We've been working our way through the book of Colossians, and we are on chapter 3. This one shouldn't take us as long as some of the last ones that we've done, but I'll start with a story. Dan Jansen is an Olympic gold medal speed skater. His sister Jane died of leukemia just before the 1988 Winter Olympics in Calgary. He desperately wanted to win gold in honor of his sister. And he failed in Calgary. In the games in 1992 in Albertville, France, he also came away empty. 4 years ago in Lillehammer, Norway, he won the gold in 1,000 meters and set a world record. It was an emotional moment when he skated his victory lap holding his nine-month-old daughter in his arms, and her name was Jane. After the Olympics, Jansen was asked how he had overcome so much adversity in his life. And he reflected back to a time when he was 12 and had lost a meet. His father drove him home, and Dan pouted the whole way. His father was silent until they arrived home. Then as Dan was going to bed, his father came into his room and said, "Son, life is more than skating in circles." And he walked out. Jansen said that that one moment changed his whole perspective on life. He didn't quit skating circles. He realized that he had a bigger picture. His father's words gave him a higher perspective. And his skating took on a new significance. Dan will be remembered as someone who did something ordinary in an extraordinary way. And isn't that a great story? The way that when we refocus our lives, things can change. And for all of us, you know, you're more than just running the rat race. You're more than just here to work a job, get to retirement, do a little fishing, and go to be with Jesus. Your life is meant for more than that. And sometimes when we get focused on the mundane and the here and the now and the day-to-day and the grind, things lose significance. And we actually get bored. And when we realize that life is more than just running in circles, and we start to change our perspective, life has more meaning. We can move forward with purpose, with joy, with resolve, because we know that things can change. Last week, we talked about the victory we find in Jesus, how through his sacrifice on the cross and through his resurrection, he allows each one of us an opportunity not only to be saved, but to live a victorious and abounding life. And isn't that what we really want? We don't want just a mundane life. One of the things that I talked about last week was the fact that we, the church, needs more victory. We need more victory in our day-to-day lives. We have an opportunity to know the victory because of Jesus. It's possible to overcome when we remember that overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. How many of you would say that your life is full of victory right now? How many of you would say that your life is fulfilling? How many of you would say, "I'm exactly where God wants me to be"? Is your life focusing on the circles and running around in circles, or is your life focused on something bigger? Because I believe that when our lives are focused on something bigger, we can chase bigger things. We can do bigger things. We can live in the victory that Christ meant us to live in. So we're in Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to do a little excavation of the scriptures together. Let's pray. God, thank you for a powerful word. That God, it's your word. And I pray, God, that you would speak, that you would show us what we need to know today. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't get lost in all the details and the minutiae of this book, but that, God, we would see something for us today. That we could go home this week and go, that's something to meditate on. That's something that I haven't thought of. And I just pray for each one that there would be an aha moment today as we go to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Colossians chapter 3. We are in Colossians 3, and this is episode 6, and it's called Victorious Living. Because I do believe that each one of us can live victoriously in Jesus. Any amens here? There we go. That's the way we want to start. So, Colossians chapter 3. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the reality of heaven, where Christ sits on the place of honor at God's right hand. Now, we've talked about this verse once before, and we never want to allow any text to become monotonous. We want each time we go to the text to go, what is it saying today? What is it breathing in my soul? What is it breathing into my spirit as I read that? Like, how do I approach that? And what does it mean for me? Paul says, since Christ raised you up and gave you a second chance, don't live your life the way you used to do. Don't do the things that you did before. You have a chance because of Jesus to live differently and to walk differently. Because of the victory he's given you, you don't have to focus on skating in circles anymore. You can move ahead onto bigger and better things. Set your aim, your sights on the realities of heaven. What is he getting at, and how do we do that? What he says is we must point our lives towards the things of heaven. Set ourselves completely towards heavenly things, not the things of earth. And again, easier said than done, isn't it? A lot of our direction and our motivations actually come from one place. Do you know what that place is? You might say it's here. It's right here. It comes from our heart. Quite simply, we live our lives following the inclination and the example and the things that our heart tells us to follow. You know what the world says? Follow your heart. Follow your heart, which is a way of saying, follow your emotions. Follow the way you feel. Well, the first thing I would tell you is victorious living is about directing your heart, not following your heart. And something we need to talk about because it's really so important. Do you realize that you don't actually have to blindly follow your emotions? Oh man, I'm an emotional guy. I feel things. I experience things. I can let my emotions run my life. And yet, the message of Scripture is that you don't have to follow your heart. You can direct it, and you can bring it into balance. Thanks to Jesus, we can choose differently. Isn't that great? He gives us the chance to set our aim on different things. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is the most deceitful of all things and is desperately wicked. Who can really know how bad it is? This is why we have to direct our heart, because this little organ can cause so much trauma. It can cause so much difficulty and upheaval if we don't watch it. The reason we must take control of our heart is because the heart has a way of getting what it wants. And it can get us into a lot of trouble. When its heart is aimless, when the heart is aimless, it sets its aim towards the things of the earth and not always bad things. It can just sometimes get us into different pickles. And yet, it's so funny how the heart, if given room to breathe, can get you to do things that you never expected. Now, for about a year, I've been thinking about a newer vehicle. It's become, and you know what happened? Is like I just gave it a little space. And guess what started to happen? I started to open car dealership sites. I started going to car dealerships. I started to think about new vehicles and just how great it would be to have a new vehicle. And then my neighbor gets a brand new Toyota 4Runner, which is beautiful. That's from 3 for 3 weeks in a row. But you know, you wouldn't believe the moment I started to ponder it and allowed my emotions to kind of surround it a little, it became almost obsessive. And it's that little thing, that one little thought started to erode some of my joys. I love my GMC Yukon. It's getting rusty. I love my minivan. Anyway, but the thing is what happens is when your heart gets involved, it can start to overrule your common sense, which is why we must direct it. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 2 says, "A wise person's heart directs him towards the right, but the foolish person's heart directs him to the left." And the reason I bring this up is it points to the idea of our direction almost always comes from right here. What is your heart aimed at? The things of God or the things of the world? Your will or God's will? My point here at the beginning of the message is that our heart is busy and it's going to get what it wants. And it will get us into trouble if we don't have it in control and aimed at the right things. Without some restraint and direction from us, it will go where it wants, towards the left. And in the Bible, the left is always seen as the lesser direction. And so Paul says we're supposed to aim our heart at the things of heaven. C.S. Lewis is a smart man, way smarter than me. He says this, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. Oof. That man. He really hits it, doesn't he? You see, a lot of us, and this includes me, I think we live for the world. For momentary pleasures and joy. We don't think sometimes just about heaven and what it actually means. We don't even invest ourselves in the things of heaven. We dream about vacations or vehicles or houses or careers or retirement and running in circles. And yet Paul says, you know what? You got to direct your heart. Figure out where your heart is aiming you. Is it aiming around in circles or is it aiming up towards the things of God? My heart is more than willing to chase after the things of the world. And yet my spirit says, Jesus. My spirit says, heaven. And the heart says, the world has so much to offer, and this is why we must direct our heart, because our emotions get involved. And we start to get ourselves off track. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So first he talks about setting our aim, and then he says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. If we're going to live victoriously, it means getting a handle of our heart Aim it towards heaven and see where it will take you. And the second piece of the puzzle is our mind. Heart is about direction, and our mind is what informs our hearts. It's what our hearts grab onto. Paul says, since Christ has won the victory, aim towards heaven and think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. We got to think about heaven. Got to be like poo. Think about the things of heaven. You know, I don't think about heaven enough. You know, I think about the problems of the world. I think about Ukraine. I think about the stock markets. I think about houses. I think about the banking system. I think about what's going on in the world. And I don't even think about heaven. If you want to live in victory, it's about changing perspective. Focus on the things of heaven, not the things of the world. We look all around. Jesus has won the victory for us. He's coming to rule and reign as our King, and our eternity is with Him, not here. You know, we think that we're fairly heavenly minded, but we think about the things of the world. Doom and gloom. So much of our thoughts are on things of what's going on around us. And there's few thoughts about heaven. The truth is that when we get our heart right and we get our mind right, things start to fall into place. What we think about, we move towards. What thoughts occupy our time become our desires that hearts latches onto, and it sets our direction. I thought about this during the sermon process. I saw this in it. Easy to spot a yellow car when you're always thinking about a yellow car. I've been thinking about minis. I want to get one of those like Mini Coopers. I think they're like super cool, but guess what happens? I see them everywhere now. It's like I never realized how many of them there were, but they're everywhere. But it's funny what happens when you start thinking about things. When you start thinking about a yellow car or a Mini, you see them everywhere. And it's easier to spot an opportunity when you're looking for opportunities. Easy to spot reasons to be mad when you're constantly thinking about being angry. You become what you constantly think about. And so watch yourself. Paul says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Think about a God who loves you. Think about a God who sent Jesus to come to this earth to set you free so that you might live a victorious life, a life that is not just about running around in circles. Think about a returning King who's coming to find his bride. May these things motivate us to live in a way that glorifies God. When we get our thoughts off of heaven, we get lost. Our heart and our mind can get us into trouble, and that's why Paul wrote this beautiful verse. He says, don't copy the patterns and or behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Romans chapter 12. We need God to work in our minds, because if we don't, we'll keep doing the same things we've always done. We don't need to be like everyone around us. And in fact, most of our efforts are doing just that. To be like the people around us instead of the people God has called us to be. Minds must change. Our focus and aims need to be different. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. Victorious living happens when we live through Jesus. Our real life is him. This life on Earth is really just a shadow. Our faith in Jesus gives us new life, and this is real life. Part of living victoriously is embracing the way Jesus lived. How did Jesus live? He said, I do only what the Father wants me to do. I follow his example. Now some would say, what about the things I have to give up? What about those pleasures of heaven? The joys of working. And notice what it says in verse 4. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. What we need to know is that our sacrifices are temporary. There are times that we have to give up a little, and sometimes even give up a lot for Jesus. But it's worth it. Because when his glory is revealed, we will be lifted up with him. And that is power. That is real victory. There is a great reward for faithfulness in this life. That's why we have to set our hearts and minds on eternity, because God will ultimately satisfy every need and desire that we have. My life is not about me, it's about him. Colossians 3, verse 5 and 6. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Last week we learned that Jesus broke the power that sin has over us. That's one of the biggest victories on the cross, was that we have a chance to say no. Paul talks about what it means in the here and now. He says, if you want to live a victorious life, it means rejecting sin in all of its forms. It's hard. This isn't one of those verses where you pick it up today and you are perfect today. It's one of those verses that you go, Christ asked me to do better. He wants me to reject these things for him, and I will. Temporary sacrifices. He says, put to death the sin and evil things lurking in you. Don't make excuses. And sometimes we do that. Or sometimes we adopt some pleasures because they seem right and good to us. The Bible is clear, is that it destroys us and it makes a mockery of the cross. He says, have nothing to do with sexual immorality. Sexual sins are very tempting. But Paul's talking about everything and saying, reject it. Let it go. Let it go. Impurity, anything that isn't good, stay away from anything that's not pure. Stay away from lust. We have to reject these desires. It's why the things we talked about earlier will help us. If you're focused on Jesus, other things don't matter as much. If you're focused on the reality and the future of heaven, these momentary desires don't mean as much as they can. But the most of the time, we allow room for it to grow. We don't reject it, and instead, we think it's not a big deal. It's okay, I can handle it. And that's why Paul says, put it to death. Also, victorious living means repentance and forgiveness. It's a constant going to the Lord and saying, God, this is yours. I failed. I've messed up. And I know that in you there is forgiveness, and that you will take the evil things I've done, the bad things I've done, and you will remove it from me as far as the east is from the west. You can say no. That's one of the things that I've really grabbed out of Colossians, is that Christ says you can say no. you can live in victory. Look to heaven, change your heart. Temporary pain for eternal glory. Colossians chapter 3, verse 7 to 9. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. Leave the past behind. And some of us do become too comfortable with the things of the world. Some of these sins are even common practice, and we make excuses for some of these things. But the key to victorious living is keeping our eyes and our thoughts focused on Christ. We need to plot a new course ahead. He's broken the nature that forces us into that behavior. And so we must stay away from it. When our mind is on heaven and on Jesus, we actually know what's right and what's wrong. Colossians 3:10. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. You want to be victorious in this life? Be like Jesus. Read about Jesus. How did he live? What kind of life did Jesus live? Perfect life. A loving life. A gracious life. Each day we should look more and more like Jesus. That's what we're focused on. If you're looking more and more like the world and less like Jesus, you're not following the right path. But if you are looking more like Jesus, acting more like God, and every day you're asking him to renew you, and you set your heart and your mind on the things of God, you will start living in victory. And it might start slow, and it might be really hard. But as you grow, you'll gain some momentum. And eventually you'll be like the guy at the beginning whose name I just totally forgot. Dan, yeah, you'll be like Dan. Be like Dan, who's victorious, and he's not just skating in circles. Let's pray together. Lord.